Because every single one of us needs to be heard. Every single one of us needs to be seen for who we are. When we cover our ears to someone else's story, that's a form of violence. That's a sin against God's reconciling love. And that sin is today running rampant through our world. But the good news is that this isn't the way that God wants things to be.
That's Jessica Christie, and today she brings you a powerful message entitled, But They Covered Their Ears. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce today's preacher.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to have with us Jessica Christie, the 2016 recipient of the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award, given by Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York, New York. Native of Minnesota, Jessica graduated from Princeton University and earned her Master of Divinity last May from Union Theological Seminary in New York City. While at Union, she did her field education at Advent Lutheran Church, and during her last year was Advent's Director of Christian Education. Jessica is a candidate for ordination in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and she's now studying at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. Jessica, welcome and congratulations on receiving this important award.
Thank you very much.
For the past 9 years, it's been our honor on Day One to have the recipient of each year's David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award, thanks to Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church, and you are the 2016 recipient. So what led you to try for this award?
It was really the encouragement of faculty at Union. Professor Janet Walton, who was a professor of preaching and worship, now retired at Union, encouraged me and guided me through the process. I really wouldn't have thought of it if it were not for her help and urging that I give this a try.
So how has the experience been for you?
Really amazing to have my vocation affirmed in this really powerful and public way. Thanks to Madison Avenue Presbyterian's help, it's made it a lot easier for me to do my Lutheran studies at Luther Seminary this year. Normally, it would be a non-degree program. Mm-hmm. But thanks to MAPC's support, I am able to do an MTH, a Master's of Theology, so a second master's, and turn it into a real program of study in Old Testament studies, which is what I really love.
This is intentionally a preacher/scholar award. So does this help you in discerning what your future ministry career will look like?
Discernment is always an ongoing process, but right now I'm pursuing parallel tracks in both ordained ministry and academia. Over the next year or so, I'm hoping to put in doctoral applications at some schools and see where that takes me. But I really love the intersection of the two worlds, figuring out how the fruits of academia can inform our faith and how the grounding of faith can inform academics. The intersection of the two worlds is really where I love to live, so I hope that I won't have to choose one over the other.
Dr. Reed was a brilliant and internationally renowned preacher and scholar and minister of the late 20th century and a former pastor of Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church. What have you learned about him and his ministry that inspires you?
The thing that's inspired me most is learning about his work during World War II, that he was captured, I believe. And that really informed his ministry, that he stayed with the troops as their chaplain. And that's a powerful story and not something that I can imagine in our modern world. So thinking about how faith can inspire people to do very powerful things and take huge risks, that his ministry began there. And I think that propelled him throughout the rest of his career.
So you earned your Master of Divinity from Union Theological Seminary in New York, where you concentrated on Old Testament studies, and now you've been studying at Luther Seminary, also in Old Testament, and you've said that that is your area, and you're preparing for ordination. But what draws you to the Hebrew Scriptures?
They are so deep and very complex. There's never just one thing going on in the Bible, and I really encounter that sort of untamed nature of scripture in the Hebrew Bible. I love how the Old Testament always feels like a conversation, that there's never just one viewpoint being put forth mm-hmm. as this absolute truth, that if you can read one thing, you can usually find the opposing view somewhere else in the Hebrew Bible. And for me, that's really an invitation to lived faith, that there are questions that we have to discern together as a community. And the way we do that is by entering into these ancient stories that have guided our tradition for millennia. Mm. And taking ownership of that for ourselves gives us tools to find faith in the modern world today.
So you're just beginning your ministry. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the church of the future.
We hear the word transition a lot for the church today. And sometimes those changes are good and exciting, and sometimes they're painful. And I think it's important for us to recognize the pain of change mm-hmm. and to give ourselves space to mourn when things that we have cherished are falling away. But at the same time, I feel like there's a lot of baggage that is falling away from the church. Mm. We are losing Christendom. And that's hard, that we can't just assume that we're in control of the cultural discourse anymore. But I think that frees us up to make more powerful statements, to actually witness to the gospel, not to mm-hmm. witness to culture. So the church of the future, it might be smaller, but I think it's going to be freer to actually do the work of Christ.
And I understand there's a fun fact about you. You're a lifelong figure skater, and your team even got seventh place in your division at Nationals not long ago. So are the Olympics in your future as well?
No, unfortunately, my sport, synchronized figure skating, is not in the Olympics. It's been around for decades, but we've had trouble getting past the IOC. I am no longer at the place where I could be in, you know, Olympic-level competition, heavens. But I keep my fingers crossed that someday my sport will be on television in the Olympics. That way people can actually know what it is. It's quite beautiful.
Mm. Well, Jessica, your sermon today focuses on a troubling story in the book of Acts, chapter 7, about the stoning of Stephen. First, remind us who Stephen is.
Stephen was one of seven deacons named by the 12 apostles to help them with their work in Jerusalem, to help take care of the needy of Jerusalem so that the apostles could be freed up for other work.
And would you read the passage for us?
This is the word of the Lord according to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. But filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died.
A very powerful story, and we look forward to hearing more about this in your sermon entitled, But They Covered Their Ears. Jessica, thank you for being with us.
Thanks again. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's such a joy and a privilege to be with you here on Day One Radio because I'm a big fan of radio broadcasts myself. And one show that's been particularly enriching my life lately is National Public Radio's Indivisible. Indivisible is a national call-in show that's trying to take stock of people's hopes and fears for this country in the first 100 days of the new presidential administration. One of the show's goals is to try to find ways for people with different political views to just talk to each other again after an ugly election. The conversations often demonstrate how difficult that goal is. In one episode, the host invited people to call in with a question that they wanted to ask someone on the other side of the aisle. Republicans with a question for Democrats, Democrats with a question for Republicans. But This wasn't supposed to be the kind of accusing question that we normally hurl at each other when we get to talking politics. The host framed this as an opportunity to ask a genuine question, an open-minded question, something you could ask another person in good faith and which they could actually answer. A good question was about giving yourself a chance to listen, not about giving yourself a chance to speak. Sounds simple enough, right? But as soon as they opened up the phone lines, it quickly became obvious that this was hard for people. Most of the callers did a pretty bad job of presenting their questions. People across the political spectrum did exactly what the host had asked them not to do. They generalized. They assumed. They accused. They got up on their soapboxes and they started shouting. Everyone wanted their anger to be heard, but few people really wanted to listen to the other side. This problem, this refusal to listen, feels so characteristic of our current polarized moment in history. But scripture reminds us that it's a very ancient sin. We human beings don't like listening to opposing viewpoints, and that can have deadly consequences. In today's story from Acts, we read that the people who stoned Stephen had to cover their ears to block out his words before they killed him. Before he became the first martyr for Christ, Stephen was a deacon who helped the apostles run the first church in Jerusalem. He was known for performing miracles, and when he spoke, his words were full of the Holy Spirit. But some men became jealous and afraid of his power, so they spread rumors that he had blasphemed against God. Stephen was brought before a council of Jerusalem's leaders to respond to these charges. And to be fair, just before today's reading begins, he says some pretty harsh words to the group. He calls them traitors and murderers and says that they have not been nearly as faithful to God as they'd like to think. Understandably, the council doesn't like hearing this. The assembled people all clench their jaws in anger, but they let him speak. But then Stephen crosses the line. The Holy Spirit comes to him, and he looks up to heaven, and he says that he sees Jesus standing there at the right hand of God. And this is when the orderly courtroom turns into a lynch mob. They all cover their ears so they won't have to hear any more from Stephen, and they shout to drown out his voice. Then they drag him outside the city and throw rocks at him until the life leaves his broken body. As Stephen is dying, he uses his last words to pray that God will forgive the mob. Following Jesus' example, he never stops seeing his killers as people worthy of love. It says that he prayed out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." But I don't know if anyone in the mob really heard him, no matter how loud he might have shouted. They had certainly stopped listening, ever since they covered their ears and decided that Stephen deserved to die. This mob shows us what people are capable of when we stop listening to others, when we stop seeing them as our neighbors. It makes me think of, Star Wars, how the evil Empire's stormtroopers always wear identical white helmets that cover their faces. The audience knows there's a person under that armor, but that person's individuality is totally erased. So when we look at them, we don't see a human being, we just see a bad guy. And that's why the audience doesn't feel anything when a stormtrooper dies. We don't have to think of them as real people. And that's fine in a space opera set in a galaxy far, far away, but it's dangerous when we do it in real life. When we stop listening to someone, when we cover our ears and start shouting over them, it's like we're sticking that stormtrooper mask over their face. They're no longer a thinking, feeling, beloved child of God. They're the enemy. And no matter what Jesus tells us, we're not very good at loving our enemies. When we read this story of Stephen's death, I think it's easy for us all to encourage ourselves to be like Stephen, to be faithful in the face of danger, to be full of love in the face of hate. And of course we should strive for those things. But first, I think we need to ask ourselves how we're like that crowd that covers its ears. How are we refusing to listen to perspectives that challenge our own worldview? How are we encouraging division when we could be building community? How are we giving in to hate and fear when we could be fighting for love? How are we letting death win when we could be embracing new life in Christ? Because I think that when we look at the world around us, it's pretty clear that a lot of people prefer to cover their ears. There's a lot of shouting and not a lot of listening. And we, the church, we're part of that. We're just as guilty as the rest of this fallen world of shutting out voices that we don't like, whether those voices come from within the church or from without it. We're just as guilty of dehumanizing, even demonizing, those people we deem our enemies. When I think of people whose voices we might be blocking out today, I think of the 27 transgender Americans whose murders were reported in 2016. Most of them were Black trans women, and many of their deaths were deemed hate crimes. Beloved children of God were killed because of who they were. And I think that we, the church, have to ask ourselves how we might have contributed to this. How did we fail to listen to the voices of those women? How did we contribute to a world where anyone could think they were so inhuman that they deserved to die? And also, when I think of people who might not be truly heard, I think of the fact that from 1999 to 2014, the suicide rate among middle-aged white men in the U.S. skyrocketed more than 40%. These men, who feel so desperate and alienated that they are ending their own lives by the thousands, how are we failing to hear them? How are we failing to invite them into our vision of the kingdom of God? Because every single one of us needs to be heard. Every single one of us needs to be seen for who we are. When we cover our ears to someone else's story, that's a form of violence. That's a sin against God's reconciling love. And that sin is today running rampant through our world. But the good news is that this isn't the way that God wants things to be. God has made us to be so much more. In Christ, we are already so much more. Today's reading from 1 Peter tells us, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Once we were not a people, says the epistle. Once we didn't belong to a beloved community. Once we were fractured by resentment. Once we defined ourselves by fear instead of by love. Too often, we still do. But the epistle makes us a promise. Now we are God's people. Our sinful human tendency towards division is strong, but God is stronger. God chose us and united us so we might testify to the greatness of God's work. Through the power of the gospel, all of us are brought together into one holy nation. And then the epistle says that this nation is a nation of mercy. Once you are not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are a people knit together by our experience of God's grace. Once we were strangers to God's mercy, but now we know that every one of us depends on God's mercy at every moment in our lives. And through this mercy, we can meet one another as sisters and brothers in Christ. And because we have received mercy, we are now free to show mercy to others, Stephen shows us that in Christ, there is another way. Like Stephen praying for his murderers, we are free to love those people whom the world tells us we should hate. That love doesn't make our differences and disagreements fall away, but it allows us to hear each other despite them. And that takes work. Real work. It's so easy to cover our ears, but it's hard to journey alongside people who have a different understanding of the world. It's hard to recognize the humanity of people who maybe don't seem to recognize the humanity in us. But the mighty acts of God who called us out of darkness and into marvelous light empower us to take on this holy work. Like Stephen, God has given us the strength to listen and to love. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and mighty God, you created us to live together in love as your own people. Help us to repent of all the ways that we have failed to be your nation of mercy. Open our eyes to see each other, our ears to hear each other, our minds to understand each other, and our hearts to care for each other. As you strengthened your servant Stephen, strengthen us to forgive those who have wronged us and to love those who hate us. Unite us in your service and keep us in your great mercy until the day when we at last see you in heaven with Christ at your side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jessica Christie was our speaker today. Jessica is the 2016 recipient of the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award given by Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City and a candidate for ordination in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Her message is entitled, "But They Covered Their Ears." For a free printed transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-1. D-A-Y-1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. To listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos, visit us online at dayone.org. And remember, Day One depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. If you appreciate our ministry, please consider sending a donation. We're grateful for your much-needed support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Carol Howard Merritt, a Presbyterian minister, speaker, and author of several books, including her latest, Healing Spiritual Wounds. Her message is entitled, "I Will Not Leave You Orphaned." Be sure to tune in. Now, Jessica Christie offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Jessica, you compared the situation with Stephen in the book of Acts where the angry people covered their ears to block out his words before they stoned him to death to the national political scene these days where we can't stand to even listen to what a political opponent has to say, let alone have a normal conversation with them. So Scripture reminds us that this is a very ancient sin, you said. Why do you think this inability to communicate with those we disagree with, whether about politics or religion, is such a common human malady? Why do we always have to be so right?
It's really hard to be challenged on the things that are important to us. The truths that we hold dear, they're really fundamental to the core of who we are. And I think we're scared of change. It's also hard to listen when we're angry. And I don't have anything against anger. I think that people have good reasons to be angry about things in our world today. But you can't take that anger and use it as an excuse to stop listening or to attack each other, whether that's verbally or physically or psychologically. There's lots of ways we can do harm, and we need to be careful with that power.
And yet, as Stephen lay dying under the rocks, he uses his last words to pray that God will forgive the mob. He never stops seeing his killers as people worthy of love, you told us. God calls us to have this same approach to our enemies. How is that possible?
Stephen shows us that we begin by following the example of Christ, that as he's dying, he echoes exactly what Jesus does on the cross in Luke's gospel, that he forgives the people who are killing him. But also, we have to have the courage to listen to each other and know that our identity in Christ is secure enough that we can be challenged by other people and we can listen to other worldviews and still be ourselves.
And how does realizing that we are part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, help us live our lives in the way of Christ?
This epistle, 1 Peter, I loved how it said that God makes us all one together, that we are a single nation, counter to all outward appearances sometimes. And so that's a promise that we have to trust in, no matter how the world tries to pull us apart. We have to live together. We don't have an option. So we can take this promise and use it as a grounds on which we can actually build up a shared community.
Jessica, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I hope our listeners remember the dangers of dehumanizing the people who we have deemed our enemies, and to take that as a challenge to push themselves to open their ears and open their hearts to different perspectives. It's something I hope I remember myself as well. I'm just as guilty as everybody else of covering up my ears and doing a lot of yelling over the past few months. So I wrote this partially as a reminder to myself that I need to be more open-minded and more tolerant. Even if it doesn't change my mind, I need to see all people as my brothers and sisters.
Jessica Christie, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.